Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
We are back this week with part three of our series on Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. Because on this show, we look at a wrestler through five of the most important matches, but for certain people, they're a three-parter, so Edge has gotten three parts. This week, it's all about everything since he returned from his retirement in 2020.
I thought it was all about Eve. This is fun. You know, I think this part of Edge has been my favorite, more so because
you don't hate him anymore. That helps.
It's really hard to hate someone when you don't see them for 9 years. You know what I mean? When you have involvement in your life for 9 years, pretty much.
I know some people who are still holding on to people from high school and hating them. I'm not one of them, but.
But like him and Cena beefing, you know?
That's true. They're not currently beefing. Before we dive into everything, if you are not already, you should go and subscribe to us on YouTube. We recently hit 100 subscribers. We're very happy about that. Come join us. We got lots of bonus content on there. If you're just a faithful listener of the pod, we thank you and appreciate you as well. Wherever you're listening, be sure to rate 5 stars. We continue to climb charts. We showed up on the UK charts this week, on the US charts this week. Thank you for joining us. Continue to support us however you can. We appreciate it so much. Tell us who you want us to cover, all that good stuff. Shout out again to our homie Crispy Crips 3548, leaving another wonderful comment on our YouTube video last week on Edge's part two. Is great stuff. And also Crispy Crips, stay tuned for who we cover next week or 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, it's gonna be big.
I'm really stroking my ego over there. I appreciate it.
That's true. Tell us nice things. Tell us we're pretty. All right. Edge retired in April of 2011, and he was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2012. Which makes sense. He had a Hall of Fame worthy career. That's not a surprise.
Right away.
some things that happened when he was on retirement. He was at one point held hostage by Seth Rollins in the Big Show, and that was what allowed the Authority to come back because Seth was going to break his neck.
And he cut a really good promo hyping up John Cena.
He did. And John Cena saving Edge. I genuinely hate it. John should still be petty and just be like,
no, you know what? Here's the thing, though, is in 2012, if it's not for Edge's promo against him, that fiery promo when he fucking got a haircut too, which really bothered me. If it's not for that promo, you know, maybe Cena isn't pumped up enough and maybe he doesn't beat Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules. So
that's true.
Maybe they mended their relationship at that time.
Edge would come back and host like a couple episodes of The Cutting Edge every once in a while. Like that's what he would do. They'd do The Cutting Edge Peep Show where he'd be with Christian. He was also an actor. We had the Edge and Christian show, which totally reeks of awesomeness, which was fantastic.
It was so good.
It is probably the best consistent wrestling comedy thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because honestly, being the Elite is good when it's good and sometimes is not as good.
And now it's just kind of weird.
And now it's just now it's required viewing for AEW. Not as much anymore.
But it's not.
Like a year, all of the character building was done on Being the Elite and not on AEW.
Some
TV.
Of the Hangman stuff, but not really. I don't know. I feel like if you had gone through the entire Hangman Adam Page arc without Being the Elite, you still would have gotten there as a fan.
That's true. Edge was also in the show Haven for a while, where he became chief of police. He was a Viking on Vikings in seasons 5
Great
and
show.
6.
Excellent
and
show.
Now he's going to be Ares in the new Percy Jackson series.
Wait, he's Ares?
He's Ares.
Why did I think he was Poseidon?
I don't know, because he's not anywhere near water in the trailer.
Who's Poseidon in the show? Do you know?
Not Edge. Maybe Christian. Who knows?
Does Poseidon have any weird father.
I was supposed to say, does Poseidon have any weird kids kicking around? So let's go to our first spot. It is the Royal Rumble 2020. We start at the 21 spot because that's the spot that matters. The ring has a couple of guys in it. And as the countdown happens for number 21, we hear "You Think You Know Me." And Edge appears.
I lost my fucking mind. I didn't think it was like it was. I don't know if it was just me not looking at the dirt sheets or not being on Twitter as much, which is not true. I was on Twitter way more back in 2020 than I am now. And I don't know, like it was just not in my radar at all that Edge was even a possibility for coming back. Like I knew that he maybe had some inclination, like the SummerSlam 2019 thing where he speared Elias, I think it was. Like that that was also kind of like a, ooh, maybe. And I know AEW had some interest in him, and I was like, ooh, that could be interesting. But, like, that has no bearing on the Royal Rumble whatsoever, obviously. So Edge being there was just not at all in my mind. Like, it was not a possibility. It just was nowhere. And so when I heard You Think You Know Me, I literally was like, oh, my God! Like, so loud.
This Rumble and this return by Edge is, like, the last thing, big WWE development that happened before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
Because our podcast launches February 13th, 2020. And we had started recording episodes. We started recording our first couple of intro episodes by this point. And I knew that Edge returning was a possibility, because the way this podcast started was I was the editor for Full Press Wrestling. Javier was one of the writers. And I was doing a wrestling roundup every day. And some of the rumors were that, like, Edge might be cleared. And everyone didn't believe it at all. Like, this is one that everyone's like, it's a pipe dream. There's no way.
It's been 9 years, you know?
It's been 9 years. The look on his face as he sees the crowd is maybe one of the best reactions, because he's torn between just pure elation and tears. He's flip-flopping rapidly between both. Edge gets in the match. Spears Ziggler, who sells it like gold. God bless that man.
On the live broadcast.
They did. Karl Anderson hit with a spear. Great sell job. McIntyre spear, big guy, so less of a great sell job, but still good. What did you think when you saw the Styles Edge face off?
I was like, oh, that's the match I want.
Edge hits Styles with a spear as well. Who better to follow Edge than number 22, King Corbin?
Is that not a dream match for you?
No, it's not a dream match. I also forgot that this is the Rumble that starts with Brock Lesnar eliminating 13 people.
Yeah, I think not all of New Day, but Kofi and E were part of that. And then we had the face-to-face with Keith Lee, and
Big Boy.
Braun came, and then shit just kept happening.
This is why I like Haas Wrestling, because it's good stuff. Yeah. Styles gets eliminated suddenly by Edge, and I was like, ooh, teaser, future feud. Love that. And they would have a future feud. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually.
We're going to go through the rest of the Rumble, because why not? Who doesn't like going through a Rumble? Number 23 is Matt Riddle, the latest in the WWE to OnlyFans pipeline.
No, he opened one?
He's teasing one, I think. Get the bag.
So I ain't going to be on there.
No, I'm not interested. However, I'm sure there are people who will be. So you know what? Get the bag.
Yeah. Do yours, fam.
He hits a ripcord neon Edge, which is the first, like, big move Edge takes, and I remember cringing immediately.
Edge's gear is great. I love his return run gear. His return run gear has been excellent all the way through.
That's true. Corbin eliminates Riddle, puts up the Surfs Up, which is groovy. I love Corbin. He's such a shit talker. Number 24 is Luke Gallows, who is doing a Demolition cosplay, so that's weird. He's got the silver face.
Leave him alone.
I will not.
Well, that's, I don't know, he would paint his face when he was Scott Gallows.
Yeah, they would do that. Corbin tossed out by McIntyre because Drew hates fun. We got a magic killer by the Good Brothers to Edge. Number 25 is Randall Keith Orton. Orton with the RKO to Anderson, another one to Gallows. He stands alongside Edge, a little rated RKO reunion.
He's like, Mazel!
He's like muscles. He's like, yeah, this is great. He's like, you look ripped, which I thought was really funny. He's like, you look good.
It's like, Randy, you have looked the exact same for
you
so
shaved
long.
Your head one day and have looked the same for 14 years.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you have gotten a little bigger around the side areas. And you know what? You made it work.
That's fine. They both eliminate Gallows and Anderson together. Roman is here in 26. He is still in big dog mode. He has not found his final form yet.
Man.
He tosses out Ziggler. 27 is Kevin Owens, who gets to cannonball some people. Pop-up powerbomb from McIntyre. Goes for another pop-up powerbomb to Reigns. He leaps Owens, who then hits him with a stunner. Because this is when Owens had just started the stunner era, and he popped for it.
He's gotten way better at it with the hitting the stunner, and... It's honestly kind of, I can't really look at him doing another move anymore. Like, it just, it really suits him perfectly.
You know what it is? Initially, he was too quick after the kick to do the stunner.
Yeah.
He was too, he would do the kick and immediately go, you know, there's a little bit of a pause. You kick, you wait, and then you stun them. He would do it too fast, and it looked, yeah, just, looked like, yeah, it looked like a little rushed. Stunner to a lurking Orton. Number 28 is Aleister Black.
Oh.
Yeah.
Listen, there's been a, there had been fumbles during this Vince McMahon Triple H era. That was one of them.
Black, yeah.
That was one of them. And, you know, Tony Khan's kind of low-key fumbling him, too.
It's true. Hits a big knee to a running Edge. And again, another move that made me cringe. Black mass to McIntyre that I thought took off Drew's head. I'll also preface it that for a brief moment, I forgot who won this Rumble. Yeah. Spoilers for a three-year-old match, but almost four.
I remember predicting that back in like October the year before. I was like, Drew McIntyre is winning the Rumble.
Number 29 is Samoa Joe, and I realize the end of this Rumble is stacked as hell. Owens and Joe trade shots, Joe with an atomic drop and a big boot. Number 30 is Seth Rollins, who is in his era with his own little stable. He has Buddy Murphy and the Authors of Pain. He's got the glove on. He's got a big thing about taking people's eyes out in a little bit.
Not yet. Not yet.
Soon, though.
We'll get there.
He's about to enter his optometry era.
I did not. Listen, I love the Messiah. Like,
yes.
I love this, like, visionary, you know, whatever Seth Rollins is nowadays and what he has been since pretty much mid-2021, I think has been excellent.
Yeah.
That weird period from, like, October or like, November, December 2019 to pretty much WrestleMania 37.
Yeah.
Was really weird.
It was a weird look for him. Owens and Joe go under the ropes to attack Rollins. Rollins and his crew run roughshod. They send Orton and Edge to the outside, but not over the top ropes. We get a curb stomp to McIntyre, one to Reigns. Rollins eliminates Black after Murphy trips him up on the ropes. Rollins also eliminates Owens because Owens tosses Rollins after a stunner, but the Authors of Pain catch him. And they help him back in. Then Rollins helps eliminate Owens after a distraction. So he's playing the numbers game. Joe with a coquina clutch gets broken up by Murphy, who then helps Rollins eliminate Joe as well. So Seth coming in, eliminating everybody.
Saying that he hates football every Sunday. Because the Bears,
I would too if I was a Bears fan.
Hey, man, it's great over here.
That's true. Dobbs a mania, baby.
Yeah, the Pastronaut. Let's go.
The Pastronaut.
Oh, so I'm sorry. I just can't get over the fact that Roman Reigns with a vest during this big dog era versus like
now,
seeing him for the last 3 years without a shirt on is so jarring. And I don't understand why they ever put something over him. The man is built like an Adonis.
It's money on the table. Or like, you know, just money left on the table.
If anyone should be starting a fucking OnlyFans, it's Roman. Like,
Roman, that man would be fans. Clear.
My mother would fucking subscribe to that shit. And she doesn't even know how to pay her own damn bills.
Your mom's just trying to figure out PayPal. Rollins, McIntyre, Reigns, Edge, and Orton are the ones who are left. There's a brawl on the outside between Rollins' posse and the guys that he just eliminated. So Rollins is now surrounded by the rest of the guys who he has pissed off. He tries to partner with Reigns. Superman punch from Reigns, a power slam from Orton, a claymore from McIntyre, and Rollins is tossed. Some good stuff. It seems like Edge and Orton are going to team up, kind of do the Raiden RKO thing. Orton hits an RKO on McIntyre. Edge hits a spear on McIntyre. Edge and Orton do the double RKO to McIntyre. Drew's getting run up on. Orton was lining up for the RKO. Edge catches him, gestures towards Reigns to be like, let's go get him instead. And then Orton gets tossed by Edge. He played his own game. I love it. Keep your guard up, Randy.
Keep your chin up, bro. And then Randy is not too pleased. But he's
but
like,
also,
you know
Randy's
what?
Like, he kind of knows. He's like, it's fine. It's fine.
You got me.
Then we get to the, kind of the finish. Superman punched by Reigns to Edge. Edge hits a spear after avoiding one from Reigns because Reigns is better at the spear than Edge, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because Edge has like a really weird, it's basically a clothesline.
It's a hug down. Nah.
It's not even that, because it's like, it puts a lot of pressure on his neck, which is why his neck broke.
Which is probably a bad thing.
Also, he's not a very thick man. We can all agree that Bron Breakker has the best spear, right?
I still like the Rhino Gore, but that's just me being an old head.
Spear, though. It's a gore.
It's the same thing.
No, because he fucking torpedoes himself into them.
That's true. Like, he is trying to go through people.
He fucking picks them up and then drags them halfway across the ring every time.
So Edge is brought onto the apron with Reigns. Both men are fighting on the apron. Edge is eliminated by Reigns. Roman with a Superman punch. McIntyre saves himself. Claymore tosses Reigns. Drew wins. I'm still sad Drew didn't get his big WrestleMania moment.
I mean, he did. Just not in front of people.
That's what I mean. The following night on Raw after the Rumble, Edge was attacked by Randy Orton, leading to a last man standing match between them on the second night of WrestleMania 36 that Edge won.
And you could not pay us enough to watch that match back.
Here's the thing. So in my mind hole, so you picked the matches this week.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, he didn't put on the last man standing match. That's so nice of him. That means I don't have to watch that super long match. And then I look at the match you put on, because we're covering the match.
But it had to be one of those two.
Hold on. I then look at Backlash 2020, the greatest wrestling match ever between Randy Orton and Edge. And this match is longer than the last man standing match by almost 9 minutes.
No, but here's the thing, is that this match is actually good.
Nine more minutes.
But this match is actually good, is the problem.
I'm also going to put out on there, aside from the Rumble, where we have to talk about the entrances and the eliminations, obviously, so we can keep track, it will be impossible to go through beat by beat.
No, this isn't happening.
This week, the matches are long, baby. They're long.
Yeah. Edge decided to go into his Tokyo Dome era.
He really did, in front of zero people. Actually, that's a lie. Because right now, this is pre-Thunderdome. So we're in the Performance Center with NXT people in the crowd. Did you play a game?
This is also the only match that didn't have people.
Did you play a game of which NXT stars can you find in the crowd?
Oh, I saw Caden Carter. I saw B-Fab. I saw Top Dollar.
Top Dollar was on the main screen. Von Wagner's there. Santos Escobar is there. Stokely Hathaway's there. Stokely's on the phone at one point.
He's talking to MJF. He's like, hey, I want to get the fuck out of here.
What's it like in AEW? It sounds nice.
Can I get Jade Cargill, does she have anybody?
Because the thing is, this is a pre-tape match. They took a couple takes for certain things, and there's also a take of, like, they do a like essentially a boxing opening where they have Charles Robinson read through the rules.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you came here for.
It was a lot. Robinson also has no hair pulling, and I just looked at Randy's shaved head. I was like, yeah, man.
Are we not going to discuss the elephant in the room?
Sure.
Why the fuck is the greatest showman? Like, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the video package for this. They're building up. Oh, this could be the greatest match of all time. Like, between Edge's grit and determination and Orton's natural skill and fluidity in the ring. Like, this could be the greatest wrestling match we have ever seen in the history of wrestling. Yada, 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 yada. And in the background, you just hear, we won't ever
broke it down. Yeah, Zac Efron is it's like the year they did Cool for the Summer by Demi Lovato as the SummerSlam theme. And I remember being like, this is Demi Lovato. Why are they here?
I'm like, why am I hearing Hugh Jackman right now?
I love Hugh Jackman. All right.
What is happening?
Here's my big question about this match. Is it the greatest wrestling match ever?
No, but it was a damn, don't get me wrong.
It's good.
It's a damn good match. Like, I'm not going to shit all over and saying like, oh my God, they missed the mark by so much, like all this stuff. Like, I think for 2020, it's one of the best matches of 2020. It's absolutely one of the best matches of the COVID 2020 time period. But like, no, it's not the greatest match of all time.
I think you like this match more than I do.
This is a hell of a match. I think that for you, it's because it's 45 minutes.
Yes.
But for me, definitely. Like, I watch 45-minute matches all the time.
You're trained by New Japan. You're used to this. Yeah. I'm not.
I know what I'm doing here. I think, you know what, another issue it probably was more than anything? We had to watch this on Peacock, and you can't put it on, like, 1.5 speed or whatever.
I was waiting until we were live and recording to tell you this. There is a Chrome extension you can download that allows you to speed up Peacock. Yeah.
I was watching it on my iPad, man. That wasn't going to happen anyways.
There you go. The cool thing about this match, the psychology is fantastic. These two know each other really well.
Oh, so
really
fuck cool. off. You waited until we were recording?
Yeah.
This is why you get the goddamn chair to your back.
This is why I'm getting turned on. The cool thing about this match is, obviously, they build in the fact they know each other really well, so there's a psychology piece and all that. They start to go do a greatest hits of their common opponents, and I think that's really cool. Like, during this match, the amount of different wrestlers that are referenced is really unique. It starts really with Eddie, because there's a Three Amigos spot partway through the match. But then you also get Kurt Angle is referenced, Triple H is referenced, yeah. Christian is referenced, The Rock is referenced.
Yeah, one of them hits a rock bottom, or
Edge hits a rock bottom right after Orton hits a pedigree.
The Rock didn't really do anything with either of them. Like, he had that one match technically against Orton at Mania, but that was a handicap match.
I just like that they were kind of like pulling out, like, if it's the greatest wrestling match, they're pulling out the greatest hits of everything else, which I thought was cool.
I mean, if it was, then one of them would have hit a fucking stunner or a FU.
Kevin Owens would have been mad, though.
I'm actually kind of upset that one of them didn't hit an FU, now that I think about it.
Yeah, because, like, John Cena is their biggest enemy.
Both of their biggest rival.
I would say, in order of sharing their common rivals, it's John Cena's one, and then Taker's two, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I would say for both of them, it's literally that. I can't say it's order, because Triple H is probably higher for Randy. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, for both of them, their number one, each of them, is John Cena. It makes sense. Like, at least an STFU. Come on.
That's true. There's a lot of really good spots. Like, give me one thing you want to highlight before we talk about the finish.
First off, Randy Orton's suplexes were, like, on point this match.
There's part of me in my brain that,
like, he was, odd boy,
because he was so crisp. I'm like, how many takes does this take you, Randy?
No, I'm like, so I don't know about you, but me personally, I think Eddie Guerrero has the best, like, just normal suplex. I think Eddie Guerrero has the greatest suplex of any wrestler ever. You're like, this is too much for me to think right now. But
no, a couple of different names came to my brain quickly.
I think it's Eddie, number one for me. Or in this match, the way he was hitting them, I was like, man, this is, like, really Eddie-like. Like, this is, like, perfect. He put some snap to it, too. It's like,
none of the names that came to my head. Eddie, I agree, Eddie is at least up there, if not one. Brett, Kurt, and Mr. Perfect. Those are the three.
And I mean, just basic.
Classic vertical. Yeah.
Just a vertical suit. I think Bobby Lashley has a good one, too.
I like, but also Bobby does the delay all the time. We just holds him. Is like, yes, give me cheers.
Obviously, we're disrespecting Harley Race completely, and I'm sorry for that. But we haven't done a Harley Race episode, so I didn't do my deep dive.
I'm actually very excited for the Harley Race episode, because I'm excited to see.
I'm not. It's just gonna be old Harley. Like, I feel like so many of these old wrestlers, we're always saying that, like, oh, I'm so excited to do blah, like, so and so thing. We're gonna go there, and we're like Harley Race probably deserves, like, a two-parter at least. But we're not going to be able to get two parts out of him, because there's not going to be enough footage available.
People needed to be on their phones more back in the day. All right.
Yeah.
The finish to this match after the wonderful Edge or Orton suplexes.
So many near falls, too, that were really good.
There's a lot of really good near falls. So here's my list of near falls right near the end. Edge counters draping DDT into some pinning combos. Then Orton with a sudden RKO. Edge kicks out. Orton lines up for a punt. Edge hits a spear instead, hits a second spear. Orton kicks out again.
Which Orton shocked me. I thought that was the finish.
Like, I thought that was the finish, too. Orton with a second RKO as Edge does a springboard. Edge slowly up.
The Christian locks spot.
Locks in a choke on Orton. Orton with a low blow, but Charles Robinson doesn't see it. Punt connects. I fucking knew when I was watching this live that they were going to end with a punt. I knew it.
How many times do you think they had to tape, like, do a cut of that punt? Because you know, one time he just missed.
Because probably he's like Adam, I don't want to kick you in the head, and Ed's just like, no, and like, go ahead.
Because you have to think, when was the last time Orton like did a punt before this? Because I know he went on his little legend killer run after this, which basically he did a punt every goddamn week.
Yeah, remember Splinter Cell Randy Orton? Night vision goggles. The fuck was that? He did a punt during the Authority angle, didn't he? He did one.
To Rollins. He hit Rollins.
To Rollins. Yes. Okay. Punt.
Just like they're like pulling him out and everything. Like I know one time he hit an RKO out of nowhere, and then Triple H was like, fuck. And that's what basically led to him getting shoved through the bricks.
I love that. Triple H's reaction there is so good.
Hit a punt.
Yeah. Dude, I have a vague recollection of Randy kicking somebody in the face. All right. We're going to take our first break. When we get back, Edge comes back and goes to WrestleMania. Back from the break, during that greatest wrestling match ever, Edge suffered a torn triceps. Rough break. Glad the punt happened because that wrote him off TV. After a 7-month hiatus, Edge returned at the January 25th, 2021 episode of Raw, where declared that he would enter the Royal Rumble match, and he won the 2021 Royal Rumble match from the number one spot. He last eliminated Randy Orton, surprise, surprise. With this victory, Edge became the 8th man to win the Royal Rumble at least twice, the 3rd to win it from the number one position, and the 1st to win it after being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Yeah, first current Hall of Famer to win the Rumble. We are then looking at his promo before his match at WrestleMania. So his match at WrestleMania 37 was a triple threat match. It was himself, the champion, Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan.
What a match it was, too, by the way.
Yes, not what we're covering, though. We're covering the promo, not the match. I guarantee we will probably do a mini-sode on this match would be worth it on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. We didn't cover it for Brian?
We didn't.
Wow. That's shocking. That makes kind of sense. I know we did the AJ match for the IC title, which was a fucking banger.
A banger. Speaking of bangers, this promo is... Yeah. This is Edge's... This is the best promo we're looking at from Edge during his whole run. I know you like the I Hate You John Cena one, but that's a different type of promo.
Yeah, no. That was pure... Like, honestly, I could believe that Adam was making that promo. You know?
That's a good way
to put
it.
I fucking hate you. You have everything, and you've taken that from me. Like, I was the fan. I was at Mania, like WrestleMania 6. This was meant for me. Like, I worked so hard to get the dream to be here, to be the champion, to be the guy. And it's fucking you, and that's not fair. Like, it's one of those promos that I think, like, eventually when fingers crossed, we do ever get, like, that tried and true Rollins versus Roman Reigns feud, like in a big spot, and I just want them to give Rollins the mic and just be like, just let him fucking go off about how Roman was the chosen one. Roman got to be the fucking guy. It should have been me, and it's not fair.
The greatest feuds that WWE does consistently are the number two guy that people like better than the number one guy, letting them go at it. Savage and Hogan, Cena and Edge, and Reigns and Rollins.
Makes sense.
Rollins is the Edge to Roman's Cena.
Yeah.
Rollins is the Savage to Roman's Hogan. And Edge is like laying it all out here. Talks about clawing back into the ring. And the only thing he didn't get to do in his WWE career was end his career on his terms. He missed 9 WrestleManias. Talks about Bryan saying, this might be my last WrestleMania, and weaseling into the match. He also has one of my favorite insults of Daniel Bryan I've ever heard. He calls him an indie bookstore clerk. Which is
so fucking dumb.
Devastatingly accurate.
It's also like so stupid.
You're telling me you can't picture Daniel Bryan telling you where Ta-Nehisi Coates' new release is found? Like, 100%.
No, I don't think Daniel Bryan could be someone put in charge.
No. He works at the store. He's not in charge.
Yeah, but he just works there. I don't think he'd be very good at customer service.
No, because he'd try to kick your head in. But that's fine.
Yeah,
I
just feel like he's so awkward.
Have you been to bookstores? Like, most people who work at bookstores are awkward.
sure. That makes
sense. I know this as somebody who wanted to work at a bookstore for a long time. I was like, it sounds fun. The books are there.
Like you said, you know, he calls out Brian for saying this could be his last WrestleMania, which it was. He says a month of Brian's career is a year for Edge's. So yeah. What do you think this is for me? Like, he doesn't know. This could also be his last one for all he fucking knows.
Edge starts shitting on Roman too. Says Edge doesn't know Roman anything, but Reigns owes him. Comes from a 3-man group, comes through the crowd, does a spear. You're Samoan Edge.
Which, don't like that one. That's not true.
The commonality is like you're trying to find things in common, but like, no, it's not the same.
He says that he came back to hit a home run, and Roman is the green monster. And I popped for that one.
Bastin. Goes through, talks about how you don't know the pain he's gone through, like really emotional, like almost like screaming near tears, like it's a lot coming from Adam.
Yeah, he's like, I came back from a torn tricep, entered the Royal Rumble at number one, survived 29 other men to win the match, and pushed my ticket to the main event of WrestleMania. I shouldn't have to jump through any hoops.
It's true. Hoops are unnecessary. He says he's the next Universal Champion because I have dreamt it, and now I will manifest it. Spoilers, he did not manifest it.
He got speared. Yeah. And Daniel Bryan, I think, got stacked above. Daniel Bryan also got speared.
Yep.
And then he didn't roam and put Bryan on top of Edge.
Yep.
And then pinned them.
Yep. Not great. He does get his one-on-one.
It was like such a final boss moment. I was like, holy fuck.
Speaking of the final boss, he does get his one-on-one match against Roman at Money in the Bank 2021. This is the era where we still see Roman Reigns every week. This was a very nice time. It is
at least Universal most weeks.
Yeah, Universal Champion Roman Reigns versus Edge. This match is great.
So this had gotten decently personal between these two guys. Like, yeah. It was very much like a dick measuring contest, but also like I was you before you. You could tell it was super personal, especially for Edge. Like, Roman's very much in like a, I'm gonna beat this guy, whatever. But
this,
like,
is still Roman unfazed.
So, and the match starts up with a lockup, but I actually preferred that it started up with a lockup here because it's just one of those like personal things, but it's very much like. The reason why it's so personal is because both of them are feeling confident that they could beat the other. And, like, they know that that represent, like, it wasn't just about beating them. It was about, like, schooling them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I think a lockup was just fucking perfect for the start here. And then, you know, it's Edge just starts getting one, it just starts one up in him a little bit here. And, like, Roman.
The slap.
Yeah, the slap. Roman's pissed. He's like. You could just tell Roman really just wants this to put this fucker down and make him acknowledge him. Like,
this is also a great Roman addition, which is the Thanos gauntlet glove, like having the one gold glove.
It's fucking
very
awesome.
Good.
I can't wait to see him fucking put that shit down in the middle of the ring with his boots after Cody beats him at Mania.
I just want Cody to win.
I just want someone to beat this guy at this point.
You know what it is? It's the meme of Marge Simpson holding something up, but it's just Cody Rhodes. I just think it's neat.
He's just the guy. He's the fucking guy. That's a terrible Marge Simpson.
I was just trying to do Marge properly. I don't have a Marge.
Oh, me. I can't do Marge, personally.
I was going to say, I don't think you can talk that talk if you're going to sound like that.
Nah, man. Listen, I may not be able to do it, but I know what it sounds like.
and it's not that. Again, to go through this match bit by bit would be a lot. The big thing here is during his return, a lot of the interactions Edge was having up until WrestleMania 37, were kind of like, isn't it nice that he's here? Isn't it nice that Edge is back? Like, you'd have matches, and you're like, isn't it nice that Edge is back? Even Orton, like, yeah, it's a personal feud, but there was still, like, some level of respect. Roman does not give a fuck. Roman does not care that Edge is a forefather, because Roman is the father. He does not care.
He's the final boss. He's the main character. He's the reason why people are here. Like, that probably is a sold out arena. He's the reason that bitch is sold out. Yeah. He knows it. All this other stuff. You know what my favorite thing is about the Roman Reigns? Honestly, he still does it to this day. But it's more so during that that initial like year and a half of the Tribal Chief run. It's like a lot of the little things that he does. Like, it's the little shit talking moments. It's the him getting like pretty much dissected by Edge, and he goes out of the ring, gets a pep talk from Heyman. You know, he like at one point he dubs Edge out of the ring, and he takes his sweet time getting to it. He gets out of the ring. He walks across the apron. He goes down the steps instead of just jumping.
Takes
off.
The actual steps. Yeah,
like it's stuff like that. Like he hits a drive by at one point, and he did the same thing. He like got on the apron, went down the steps on the far side of the ring, and then like came around and hit the drive by. Like it's the little things that he did. It's like, you know, I have the people at the palm of my hands already. So why the fuck would I have to like do shit like other people do it? Like, no, I'm taking my time.
There's a mid-match hope spot for Edge where he avoids the right hand, hits an Edge-O-Matic. He gets the upper hand for a little. I really liked his kind of his offense here. So hits the Edge-O-Matic and then hypes up. Clotheslines, flapjack, because Edge loves a flapjack. Execution gets a two. Puts Reigns on the top turnbuckle. Does a facebuster onto the top of the ring post. Reigns ends up in a tree of woe. Edge gets some shots in and then immediately locks in an STFU. Like, that's what it is. He locks in an STFU, he transitions into a cross face, and this is the first part of the match where Roman looks alarmed.
Yeah, he looks vulnerable.
Yes. Which
is also my favorite part of Roman Reigns matches, is when he starts the first vulnerability spot, is when you're like, this guy fucking, this is the one. This is, like, listen, I said the thing about Cody and like Cody's the guy and all this stuff. I want to get the title off of Roman, everything, yada, 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 yada. But I'm pretty sure, and you'll probably agree with me as well, Roman Reigns is that fucking guy. And he has been for 3 years. If anyone was ever going to get a 3+ year run with that title doing anything, it was going to be Roman in that character. Like it just was like, yes, it should have ended at 39. And obviously it should have ended at 39. The last 6 months has proven so, or more than 6 months at this point has proven that. But seeing him in this run is like not only truly some final boss type shit, but it's just like, it's an understanding and a grasp of pro wrestling in a way that we have not seen since like, I don't even know, like fucking Austin, you know, like it's just like, he is just standing money. He's just money.
Before we talk a little bit more about Edge, we're going to get to the part where Reigns breaks off a piece of the steel chair. And so we'll talk about that in a second. And as that's happening, I realize, holy shit, Pat McAfee is in full cowboy gear for commentary. Because we were in Fort Worth, Texas. I had forgotten all about it. And we're at ringside. And Pat McAfee's on commentary. And I appreciate that. And all of a sudden, it's just a fucking rhinestone cowboy on my screen. And I was so confused.
I was going to say, do you think Luke is there? But my man's definitely in fucking Spain or some shit like that.
Definitely.
It's July or whatever the fuck. He's out.
The reason that Reigns goes to get the piece of metal is because Charles Robinson took a bump. Reigns hit a Superman punch and Edge fell into Robinson. Robinson is now selling, I believe, a torn meniscus.
Well, Edge fell right on his knee.
Yeah. And Charles Robinson's acting like he has the Paul George injury. Like, that's how much he's selling it.
Yeah. Yeah. When realistically, he's got, like, whatever the fuck Stephen Curry's got right now.
Reigns wants to lock a crossface with the metal bar. Edge fights back and headbutts Reigns, which means Edge is impervious to the Samoan headbutt thing. That's now canon, because he wins the headbutt battle with Reigns. How?
Maybe it's because he's got a bionic neck.
Maybe. See? Kayfabe. Thank you, William Regal.
Maybe that's what it is.
Edge with the crossface using the metal bar. And who shows up?
They call that the Glasgow smile or whatever the fuck.
Yes. Who shows up to save Roman?
It's Jimmy and Jay.
Of course.
There's no Solo Sikoa yet, guys.
No. Hasn't been released yet. They get pulled off by Rey and Dominic Mysterio. Babyface Dominic is here. to save Uncle Edge.
With the like haircut that he used for a while there.
It's not it.
Don't like it.
Reigns is fading in and out of consciousness and another person shows up. Who is it? Oh yeah, Seth Rollins is here. He kicks Edge in the back of the head. Reigns sets up for a spear. Edge hits one of his own instead. Another official does come out, because Charles Robinson, again, still has no leg below the knee, I guess. Reigns kicks out. Rollins with another distraction. Reigns hits a spear and retains the title in one of Roman Reigns' greatest title defenses during this run.
Yeah.
Top five.
It's
WrestleMania 37. John Cena.
No, I don't think the Cena match.
No, you don't like that one?
That match is very good.
Cody.
Cody. The Usos. Jey Uso, Hell in a Cell one. I thought was excellent.
And then maybe this one.
Sammy.
Oh my God, yes. Sammy, of course.
And I didn't really love the Rumble match against KO.
I like the Rumble match against Seth.
That match was sour. Like, I was soured by the finish. I did not like the fact that it ended in a DQ.
I feel like we talked a lot about Reigns in this match. Edge was fantastic.
Yeah, Edge, but it was very clear that Roman was the driver. Yeah. Like, he was not even just the work rate itself. You could very tell he was leading the dance.
Let's move to Crown Jewel 2021. This is where Edge and Seth Rollins.
Seth attacks Edge after the match. They brawl out of the arena. And who comes out?
Oh, I didn't even watch. What happened?
So after the match, Rollins attacks Edge. They brawl out of the arena. Roman, you know, as he does after his big pay-per-view matches, he gets the mic. He goes, whatever city where are they? Fort Worth?
Acknowledge
me. Dun, dun, dun.
I forgot this is where John shows up.
Yeah, he comes out. He's like, Stu, we're back. Let's get to work. All this other stuff. He's like, let crowd. I'm here. Let's go. And then he goes. It doesn't say a single word to Roman. He just looks at him. He goes to the ropes. He's like, yeah, I'm here. Blah, blah, blah. And that's it. They cut it off.
They're like, tune in next week. It's like a Dragon Ball Z episode. All right. Crown Jewel 2021. It is Edge versus Seth Rollins. Hell in a Cell. You talked about how Edge's gear is really good during his return. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's in the maroon and gold.
My favorite.
He looks like a Minnesota Golden Gopher, baby. Those are my people.
Richard Pitino?
He's Mo Ibrahim, baby. looks great.
He looks fucking great. Seth also looks great.
It's true.
I love flamboyant Seth Rollins. I love the outfits he chooses. Like, the guy just, his gears are great every time. I don't even want to know how much money he spends on
his gear. His gear is a 60 out of 60, unlike his wife, who went 0 for 60 on Celebrity Jeopardy.
How long were you waiting to pull that one out?
I thought of it right now. previously, in this feud, obviously it started at that match with Roman that we just covered, but they had a match at SummerSlam, which Edge won. Rollins then also broke into Edge's house. And made fun of his daughter's drawing.
That was pre this one, but after the second encounter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is they had the first match, they had another match, then they had another match
at MSG, which Seth won.
Yeah, and then they had this thing where Rollins broke into his house and ate his apples and made fun of his daughter's drawings.
And Edge was like, call Daniel and David or whatever the fuck, which are the names of the Revival, FTR. Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, and then nothing happened. So, till now, now they're all in AEW. Now,
when are we going to get rated FTR?
Is there a better frizzy hair duo than Edge and Rollins 5 minutes into this match?
Frizzy hair Rollins is up there with like Hoodie Mello, fucking
yeah.
Game Six Clay, like all these guys,
Masked frizzy. Braun.
Yeah, frizzy haired Rollins is right there with all of those guys.
Trying to think of like other wrestlers who have that superpower. I feel like every time Mick Foley's bloody, he becomes better.
Bloody Mouth Foley.
Yes.
Oh, fucking Orton when he's like fully cooped out, snaked
up. However much shaved his head is. Like, if it's like to the skin, Orton is on another level.
What else? Taker, the depending on how much black he's wearing.
True. Edge is just if he is against John Cena.
No, it's how much is he doing this?
That's true. That's a good indicator.
That's what Edge. If he's doing that a lot, you're about to lose.
This match is really good and solidifies your take from episode one of this three-part series. Tell the people why the Seth Rollins-Edge feud is one of Edge's best feuds.
I think, well, for starters, they had three fucking incredible matches, which ended in this one.
All different.
Yes, all completely different. The story built up. Like, it started off as a jealousy thing because Seth Rollins was upset with Edge for taking his spot in line to face Roman because he felt like it should have been his.
Yeah.
Which made no sense because he lost at WrestleMania 37 to Cesaro. Anyways, that's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that entirely.
Whole thing. Anyways, he took the spot in line, and that's why Rollins was just jealous. He was, like, upset. He was in the Money in the Bank match, I think, the ladder match. I don't know who fuck won that year. I forget. Was that E? I think Big E won that one.
Yeah, that's when he would have won, yeah.
And he didn't win. He was super upset. That's why he did that. So the first match was just a spite thing. And Seth is very much like a heel, obviously, still at this point. Seth's, like, he's a shitty
sucks.
Heel.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff. And so that was very much just like the start of it. And then it got more personal because Seth couldn't take the loss. So he started getting a little deeper, a little more violent, a little or whatever. But he wins. And I think it's because he did the stomp onto a chair or whatever the fuck. And that's what caused him to win. I don't fully remember personally. Honestly, I don't remember the MSG match. That was just like a SmackDown or whatever the fuck.
It was a SmackDown, yeah.
Raw or something like that. And then, you know, the stuff like got personal. Obviously, Seth broke into Edge's house, all this other stuff. And that's what leads to this match, which is perfect blow off stipulation, Hell in a Cell. It's what every personal feud should end in. And they put the motherfuckers in the cage and they just went out there and they beat each other's ass and systematically destroyed each other.
There are some really good Edge spots in this match.
Do you want my hot take on this match?
Give me the hot take.
I think this is like the second best Hell in a Cell match I've ever seen.
Behind what?
The first one.
Okay. So you put this over Foley and Taker?
Okay. Like that. We covered that in that match. That doesn't count.
That one
That's
doesn't really count.
Match.
You're right.
It's
you're right. You're right. You're
I
right.
think that the competition for number two is this and it's Brock Undertaker, the really bloody one from 2003. Or 2000, whatever the fuck that was.
2003, yeah.
I love that match. I do. I love that match so much. And it's an excellent match. And I think this is up there with that one. Because it's not the freaking end of an era one. I don't love that match.
No, it's not that
It's a
one.
Good match, but it's not like game-changing. Like, I think that Hell in a Cell should... Hell in a Cell is better when it's like a truly personal, truly like... You know, it should have that sort of emotion. Like, yeah. it's what... Like, Sasha and Bayley were failed in that regard a few years ago because they did it as, like, the first match, you know? And then they just kind of kept going. And that's annoying. Like, this should be the end-all, be-all match. And that's what it was for this. And it just, they hit every single beat just right. And by the end of it, I was like, how the fuck do they top this? And you know what? They didn't. Because there was an entire card of matches and none of them could hold a candle to this.
That is a hot take. I'd like one day for us to rank our Hell in a Cell matches and see where we...
If it's not number two, it's number three. I'm saying it's number two now because we're recording live and I just think it's more fun for content.
You're not wrong. Some really good spots from Edge in this match. The Edge-O-Matic onto the steel steps that were brought into the ring. There's a chair shot off the top rope, your finishing move. Onto Rollins, who's on the steel steps, which is a flashback to Edge's only other Hell in a Cell match, which up until this point, which was against The Undertaker.
Yeah, which was great. And
that spot was in there as well.
He did at one point. Edge loved doing a callback because I think later on in this match, he does the Foley chair elbow drop off a ladder.
Yep.
Which
he
is
does
fun.
He does a buckle bomb, like he steals Rollins' own move.
Yeah, it's a lot of different. I mean, at some point he's doing super kicks just like Seth would do him.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good stuff. I mean, you know, Edge, pretty early on, he does a couple of big boots. And that's when I realized, like, Edge fucking loves a big boot in this return run.
He does.
He was hitting big boots a lot.
He maybe, because here's the thing is, like, when he retired, between him retiring and coming back, wrestlers did get smaller.
Yeah, and Edge is a tall boy.
He's a bigger guy now compared to like the average field when he started. Like Billy Gunn's not around anymore. Like those type of guys who are like deceptively big. You know what I mean?
Look fucking massive in AEW.
Yeah. Billy Gunn looks like he's everyone's father in AEW, but that's Christian.
Well, that's because he is.
Edge looks like Pepe the King Prawn at one point from the Muppets.
I'm sorry?
I want you to Google right now, Pepe the King Prawn.
No, I know exactly who Pepe the King Prawn is, but how the fuck did he look like him?
When they're on the outside, Edge goes to get a ladder off the ground. He has this crazy in his eyes, and his hair is like up. It's not it's not frizzy down, it's frizzy up. And he looks like Pepe the King Prawn.
That's such a random pull.
And Edge, but you know what? It's 100% accurate.
Yeah, all right, man. Rollins at one point here gets out of a cross pace. So Edge gets the little bar off the chair at one point. The one that he loves to do the Glasgow smile with. And Rollins gets out of a cross pace at one point because he just reaches out, grabs it, and then stabs Edge in the fucking eye.
Yeah, he tries to which kill him.
Which that's a ref stoppage in any UFC event. Any MMA event.
He tried to kill that man.
At one point here, I love this so much. Rollins grabs a chair that Edge was using earlier.
Yeah.
Throws it at Edge. In the process of the chair being in the air, does a discus, like, spin. So when Edge grabs the chair, he fucking forearms the goddamn chair right into Edge's face. It's a great spot. I love it.
Rollins, later on, has a series of super kicks with a steel chain wrapped around his boot. Like, he puts a chain around his boot and hits a super kick. Sets Edge up in a chair. Rollins says, this is how your fairy tale ends. Edge counters. He was going to stomp him onto the chair and hits Rollins in the nuts with a chair instead. He pops the chair up and gets him in the nuts. Edge with a super kick, a chain assisted crossface. He steals a wrench that Rollins was going to use and uses that for a crossface as well. He lets Rollins go, which I thought was a weird choice because like Rollins was going to tap, but that's fine. Sets a chair into Rollins' head, hits a curb stomp of his own onto the chair and gets the win.
He wanted it to be personal.
It was very personal. And this is the recommendation this week for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. This is, it's a fucking hell of a match. Like, we didn't do it justice because we're just not able to go beat for beat. There's so much stuff that happens here. Like, at one point, Rollins is about to go for a Phoenix Splash. Edge fucking pushes him. He goes into the cage and goes through a table. Like, there's so much good stuff here.
He hits a backboard and goes through a table.
Yeah. Like, do you think Edge called bank?
He should have. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, Edge turns to the bad side. Back from the break. On the February 21st episode of Raw, Edge was reflecting on all the WrestleMania moments in his career and opened an issue open challenge for WrestleMania 38. The following week on Raw, it was accepted by AJ Styles. Remember him from the Rumble in 2020? What a good time. But Edge beat the shit out of him and turned heel. Whew. During the build-up to WrestleMania, Edge debuted a new gimmick and new entrance theme, The Other Side by Alter Bridge. And on the second night of WrestleMania 38, April 3rd, Edge beat Styles following a distraction from Damian Priest. Edge then formed a faction with Priest called the Judgment Day, who are still running the roost of WWE right now at time of recording.
That's being War Games.
Edge claimed he was going to wipe out anyone who did not fit in, quote, their mountain of omnipotence, which is a very fun thing to say.
Is it?
At WrestleMania Backlash on May 8th, Edge defeated Styles with the help of the newest member of the Judgment Day, Rhea Ripley, which leads to our match. It is Edge, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley, a.k.a. the first iteration, truly, of Judgment Day, versus AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Liv Morgan from Hell in a Cell 2022.
Judgment Day versus Bullet Club went stupid.
Judgment Day versus two BC leaders and Liv Morgan, who fits perfectly because she's from Jersey.
Why? Why?
Because she's down for whatever. I feel like Liv Morgan,
we got Alan from Georgia. We've got Fergal from Ireland.
But I mean, the vibe of Bullet Club that I think they're going for, which is like down for whatever. I feel like Liv being from Jersey.
Liv fits the Bullet Club of like under the tutelage of Jay White, where like El Fantasmo is just out there vibing. Like, you just put El Fantasmo with fucking Liv and they would have been great.
I forget sometimes that Edge started the Judgment Day. because of the way that it's developed since he was gone. He had
two matches with them.
I know, but like he is still their daddy. He's the one who's the grandpappy of it all.
He's the reason they have that song.
He is, yeah.
Which is great. By the way, I have to ask you, it's in my notes here for me to ask you, which do you prefer, Metalingus or The Other Side?
Metalingus.
Not for Edge. I'm just saying as a song.
Oh.
As an entrance song.
I still think Metalingus, yeah.
Yeah, I'm The Other Side. I fucking love that song.
It's a good song.
I genuinely think it's a great song.
It's harder than I thought it would be. Edge has a big black coat on, so you know he's a heel. That's so helpful of him. Put on a big black coat that he stole from Taker.
You know, my favorite thing, especially like in NXT, Dijak, Donovan Dijak, whatever the fuck he goes by nowadays, he just goes out there looking like fucking Blade, like a white man version of Blade.
Yeah, he's cosplaying his big old
black trench coat, and I'm like, oh, so he's a bad guy because he's got the black trench coat.
I would love somebody to, like, it's like whenever Undertaker was face, and then he looked like a bad guy, but you just knew, you're like, oh, Undertaker's a face right now, so it's fine. But I'd love somebody else who, like, is, like, a genuine, like put Ricochet in a big black trench coat. Like, fuck it. Why not?
Just, I want a short dude in a trench coat. We always put the big guys, like the tall guy. Like Dijak's like probably like 6'7", 6'8". He's a tall ass dude. Give me like a fucking, give me Rey Mysterio when he returns back. I want him in a trench coat.
I'm just looking up short wrestlers that we could put in trench coats.
You know, like Ricochet is probably like 5'10". Get him in a trench coat. AJ Styles deserves a trench coat. You know? Just give me
Akira Tozawa.
Give me Akira Tozawa and everything. Give him the Blade gimmick.
Yes.
He knocked that
Chad
shit out of the
Gable.
Park. Otis. Otis is not that tall. Give me Otis in a trench coat.
Otis in a trench coat. This match is good. It's nothing crazy.
It's a six-man tag or intergender six-man tag. So it's not, you know, it's never going to be like a balls to the wall type of thing. Especially
but
when
question
Edge's
for
a
you
heel
is
very methodical. So.
That's what I was going to say. How would you describe Edge's heel run here?
It only lasts like a month.
It's literally 2 months long.
It's like, it's very, he wrestles in a very you could tell he was going for a very methodical, very slow pace, like slower than fucking Roman Reigns. Which is
who does it remind you of? Because I know exactly who it reminds me of. It reminds me of when Chris Jericho did No Country for Old Men style and just went super slow, super methodical. Yeah. I'm changing everything. Yeah. And that's exactly what Edge did for like 3 months.
And it makes sense because who did Chris Jericho team with immediately after the world title run?
Edge. It's good stuff.
Well, it was Big Show. And then it was Big Show only because it was Edge, or Edge got hurt. That's why. There we go.
Anything in particular you want to highlight from this match in terms of spots?
Liv does a Hurricane Rana on Rhea and then does the CM Punk corner step up knee, and I thought that looked pretty cool.
Liv looked really good in this match.
So did Rhea.
Yeah.
In two different ways.
Many ways.
Many, many ways. Rhea does like a delayed, like a super long delayed vertical suplex, and like this was the match I remember from last year where I was like, Rhea Ripley's like a fucking freak. Like her
this is one of the matches. This is one of the matches where I was like, Rhea has like unteachable star qualities.
Like she's just
like, it's the physical prowess, but also there is an innate charisma to Rhea Ripley that I'm like, you can't teach what you have.
There's also a lot of like the way she sells stuff where it's almost like she's able to like snap her body in a way, like especially like Liv hits like a delayed like the Ziggler type of DDT where he like does the freaking like tilt forward and then brings it back, and the way she sold that, I was like, damn, I love the way Rhea Ripley sells. And then I started like thinking about it more and I'm like, Rhea Ripley is like really fucking good at selling. And it's fun because, like, I just feel so bad for her because she's on Raw and she doesn't get to have that many, like, dance partners. Mm-mm. Like, SmackDown has all the fun people. Raw has her and, like, Becky.
It's very unbalanced right now.
They're very clearly waiting with Becky because I think that's what's probably going to end up being, like, the Mania match. So it's like, God damn it. Just give her someone, please.
Balor gets isolated for a long time. And this one, I think, because he's being isolated, he's probably being fed like Judgment Day literature. Like, I think that's what's happening during this.
No, I think he's actually giving them Judgment Day like stuff.
Mm, fair.
You think they're beating his ass and he's like, it doesn't have to be like this. Be like, you could be with me.
We could be boys.
Could be
Styles
me.
Gets a hot tag, does his classic style strikes, hits sliding elbow, sit up face buster, Oshikiroshi'd Edge, 2-for-2 count. Styles wants Styles clash. Liv takes out Rhea. Styles goes for phenomenal forearm to Edge, and it connects. The first time he's ever been able to hit Edge with it, according to commentary.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to.
Priest pulls Styles out on the cover. Hot tags to Liv and Rhea. Liv looks great. Hurricane Rana. Rhea tries to counter with her, like, where she kind of muscles over and doesn't allow for the takeover, but Liv still hits it. Liv is a great Shining Wizard.
Liv Morgan is a great wrestler.
Yes.
She is really, really good. Like, I don't think Liv gets the credit for her in-ring work that she should. Like, she has improved so much from just the person who was just out there trying shit and seeing if it stuck to, like, a legitimately really good wrestler.
We get the all three faces end up on top of the Judgment Day homies. Everyone gets sent to the outside on the Judgment Day. Triple dives by the faces. Yep. Then we kind of head to the finish. So Edge is getting tagged in. Priest hits his, like, sit-down choke slam he likes to do.
South of Heaven.
Yep. Styles with a phenomenal forearm, and Edge sends Styles to the outside. A spear gets countered into a small package by Balor. Balor with a sling blade. Rhea then steps in the way of the coup de grace. So Liv, being the smart person she does, jumps at her back. They both fall to the outside. But the distraction is enough for Edge to spear Balor and get the win.
Yep. It's annoying. I don't know, man. This was really weird because coming off of watching the other two matches where Edge had to hit like fucking 3 spears to win.
Yeah.
To then 1 spear to Finn Balor and the match is over. It's like, it's a little jarring.
It is a little jarring. I see where you're going with that.
It's like, damn.
Speaking of jarring, the next night on Raw, Edge introduced Balor as the newest member of the Judgment Day, and they promptly kicked Edge out of the group. Which is very funny.
The funny thing is, he said, oh, Rhea and Priest were the ones that told me about this. Like, this wasn't even a mean thing. They went out and they recruited him.
Yeah. Just cue the clip of Willem Dafoe. I started this company.
Now fucking take it out myself.
They hit him with a concerto, kicked him out of his own group. At Clash of the Castle in September, Edge teamed up with Rey for the first time in nearly 20 years to defeat the Judgment Day, and then after the match, Dominik kicked Edge in the groin and joined the Judgment Day.
Dick.
After a 3-month hiatus that was not related to getting his balls crushed, Edge made his return to the Royal Rumble because that is Edge's favorite thing to do. He returned to the Royal Rumble.
I think
he went
to film Percy Jackson.
I think that is what he went to do. He returned at the number 24 spot, eliminated Balor and Priest before being eliminated by them after distraction from Dominic Mysterio. We then move to Elimination Chamber earlier this year. It is Edge and his real life wife, Beth Phoenix, versus Finn Balor and everyone's mommy, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. I had to add a Beth Phoenix match in here because he has very much talked openly about, like, his favorite part of this return run has been able to team with her in those two matches, I think it is, that they've done together. Because they did the Miz and Maryse, and we already covered that on this podcast in one of those episodes. So
in
here's
the Maryse
other
episode,
one.
Yeah. Prison Dom is my favorite thing because he always looks like he just started participating in Movember, like it's on like day 2. But that's just what his mustache is.
Do you do Movember?
I used to. I used to do Movember when I didn't have money to donate to other people doing Movember. Now I don't do Movember, but I donate the money instead. Because now I make money, so I can actually give it to people.
Damn, you're better than I don't even know anyone that does it.
Oh, so Movember's a really big thing. I don't know how big it is in the States. Movember's a huge thing in Canada. Yeah. And so like it was a big thing at my university when I was there. And now I still donate and usually do a couple different people who I know. Like I'll pick one of the teams. I don't shave into a mustache because I'm happily married. Would like to remain.
Oh,
so.
Is that the thing? Like you shave all your other facial hair except for your mustache?
Yeah, and you just
don't shave.
No, so that's No Shave November, which is like an old thing people used to just do as like a challenge.
Damn.
But no, it's like a thing where you either grow a mustache from scratch for November or you just shave into a mustache during November.
I like that. But I'm not going to do that because I would don't want to shave my facial hair because, as the people here could probably tell, I don't grow a lot of it. Yeah. So
I keep my stuff.
Also, shaving clean is weird, and I don't like doing it.
No, it's a weird.
The
time.
Montreal crowd is incredible. Incredible. They the way are they sing Metalingus the entire way through is like some Judas. Like Judas. It's literally like it's Judas.
What are the most fun theme songs to sing? Judas is up
Judas
there.
Judas is probably number one.
I don't count You Suck with Kurt's thing because that's more of a chant.
Yeah, the Seth Rollins, like...
Shinsuke. Oh, Shinsuke's theme.
Same thing. I mean, I think an instrumental theme that people can just like vibe to is a good thing.
Is the move.
It's hard because you don't see a lot of like songs, like entrance themes where like there are words involved that people sing.
Yeah, and the
like
the
it's really
point
just
the sing-along.
Judas
yeah.
and Metalingus.
Oh, you know what people sang along to? Bobby Roode's theme in WWE.
That oh,
was
yeah.
That was a big one. Glorious was really good.
Also, what was it? Final Countdown. When Danielson came out to Final Countdown, that was pretty big.
That was pretty good.
I can't really think about it.
Beth has the Bull Nakano face paint on, so you know that she's here for business.
I love how she goes full Viking in these matches with Edge.
Yeah, she just is like, hey, you were on Vikings. I can get down with it. Like, support your partner's interests, right?
This is also some of the best gear Edge has worn in this run.
I agree. I think it's really good.
This might be my favorite of the bunch. I don't think it might not be the best. I don't know, but it's my personal favorite. This maroon, like not even maroon, because it's like a I think it's like a deeper red. It's more like a wine red, like a red wine type of color. And it's just it looks great. Everything about it is great, and I love it. And I hope Edge had fun in this match because I had fun watching him in those pants.
Also, shout out to Montreal for consistently chanting "fuck you, Dominic." Just at any point during when he was doing anything. Just...
I hate that they started with a lockup.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
I don't
too
like that.
Personal at this point. The last thing that Beth Phoenix did was that freaking I Quit match when they forced Edge to say I quit by fucking like making the concerto on like
by threatening to murder Beth. Yeah.
On Beth. And then they actually just did the concerto anyways. Like, this is too deep, too real, and they start with a lockup.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Come on.
There's enough to talk about. This match is fine. Like, it's a pretty good match.
Yeah, it's solid.
Isn't it an inter match? Like, there's some big spots. The big thing, like, I'm going all the way to the end. Like, or nearer to the end. Beth, let's go. So, Beth... what happens here? Where's my notes? Edge locked in the educator. Rhea gets stuck in it from Beth. Like they both have the educators locked in. Yeah. Beth lets it go because Dominic tosses in some brass knuckles. The ref goes to Dom and Beth gets a headbutt by Rhea. Rhea then picks up the brass knuckles and clocks Edge.
Yeah, that was a clean punch too, by the way.
That was a clean punch to Edge.
She puts Finn on Edge, but Beth makes the save. Another thing I like pretty early on in the match is Dom crotches Beth.
Yeah.
Like right before he leaves, he crotches Beth. Edge
and
chases him out.
Just sprints out of here.
Yeah, that was really fun too. So like right after that spot with the brass knucks, Beth and Rhea brawl. Balor goes up for a coup de grace, but then Beth flings Dominic at the ropes and he makes Balor get crotched. Another cool spot, which I love that they put the two muscle mommies next to each other.
Yeah.
Because
really what this is.
Rhea hits a powerbomb to Edge and Beth hits a powerbomb to Finn. And that was really cool. It's like, ah, yes. And that's when I noticed it, Evan. My favorite sign in the history of pro wrestling.
Normally I'm the one who notices signs. What'd you see?
Straight center. Like a little higher up from like the real hard cam. They like zoomed out slightly and you could see it perfectly. Straight center. Someone holds up a white sign with black letters. It just says, chicken souvlaki pita.
I'm all in. I do like a good...
Whatever. I don't know where it is. I want it. I love a good chicken souvlaki.
I do like a good chicken souvlaki. So there is a spot where Dom rearranges the seal step, sets Beth up for a concerto. Beth escapes, hits a glam slam on the outside. Execution by Edge, dive to Dominic on the outside by Edge back in, spear counter with a sling blade. Balor gets hit with a spear the second time, a shatter machine by Edge and Beth, and they win the match against the Judgment Day. It's nice.
I love a shatter machine. I love the shatter machine. Or whatever the fuck. The big rig, I think, is what they call it in AEW.
Yeah, big rig.
It's great. I love that finisher. This was a fun match. This feud led to that Hell in a Cell match, which got absolutely cucked by the goddamn medical team. But tis what it is.
It is what it is. On the August 18th episode of SmackDown this year, it was 25 years in WWE with Edge. Edge defeated Sheamus in his hometown, Toronto. What would be his last match for WWE? Because he
left a hell of a match.
It was a hell of a match. Left the promotion when his contract expired on September 30th. And on October 1st, he made his debut in AEW at the end of the Wrestle Dream pay-per-view event under his real name, saving Sting and Darby Allin from an attack with Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne. The day this episode drops is the day of Full Gear. And Adam Copeland will be in a six-man tag with Sting and Darby against Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne. I want to ask you, aside from Christian, because it's what we're getting right now, what is the number one feud you want to see for Adam Copeland in AEW?
Man, that is a good one.
It's a tough question.
Damn, that's a really tough question. Honestly, my answer is going to surprise you a lot.
Okay.
There's two. Okay. So one would be as a heel. I want to see him go up against Hangman. I think him
that
and
is
Hangman
exactly
Adam
what my answer was.
Would have a great, great feud. As a babyface, I want to see him up against Jack Perry.
Okay.
I think him and Jack Perry could have a great match.
I was on the same wavelength with you for sure, because I think heel Edge versus face Adam Page would be outstanding.
Yeah. Just two guys that are really fucking good. Like, Hangman is similar in a lot of ways to Edge, and also in a vein, Rollins. Like, they were two guys who the promotion, like, pushed up, and they were very clearly, like, number twos at a time where, you know, like,
but
Hangman,
good twos.
Was there as a two for, you know, and you know, he was the world champion, but CM Punk was kind of the draw, you know, the deal.
Yeah,
like, say, very much in the vein, like, even nowadays, you know, he's not in a position of being a number two anymore, but he's still like one of the higher focuses, but the focus is Max. So it's like, you know, he never really got the opportunity to be in the top spot, but he wasn't really the draw. You know what I mean?
If AEW had two world titles, similar to the way the WWE did for so long, I think Adam Page would exactly fill the Edge role of being a consistent like world heavyweight champion constantly.
And I think, I mean, listen, with the amount of titles they have, they might get there eventually, but I think it would kind of dilute it a little bit. I think it should just stay the AEW world title.
I think you're right. I think having one world title is better for all promotions, and I think AEW is pushing the limit for the amount of titles they can have on their fucking TV, though.
They've also done a very good job of balancing the two lower titles and, like, kind of making them more, like, the international title means something.
Yeah.
You know, the TNT title has been downgraded a lot in the last year, but it still means something.
Yeah. All right. That's our Edge series. All of it. All three parts. To say, like, what did you think going back and watch the career of Edge? Like, that's a lot. Was there anything that surprised you? Was there anything that surprised you covering Edge?
I thought it was refreshing going back and watching this third part, this, like, return run from Edge, because, you know, over the last 3 years, I haven't really gone back and watched as many of his matches.
No, you watched it live. You know what I mean? Like, it was just you saw it live and you're like, oh, cool. That was a really good match.
Yeah. And, like, especially the Rollins match. Like, I saw that and I was like, I kind of want to watch the rest of it. Like, I want to watch his other two matches with him. Like,
yeah.
Because I remember them being really fucking, especially the MSG one, I remember being a very good match. And, you know, I don't want to say he left a lot of meat on the table, because a lot of meat on the bone, because he didn't. He, like, absolutely, he came back. He fought everyone. He did so many things. He had so many good stories. And you can't say that he didn't feud with the people that you wanted him to feud with. Like, who's left?
Had so Cody, much variety.
Came back last year. Like, that's not fair.
And so then, much variety in his feuds. True. Like, but he still had the interactions with them. Like, he had the great Orton feud. He had the great Styles feud. He had a Balor feud.
He
did all of these things. I still think the most surprising thing going back in all three parts was to go back to part one and realize how much of Future Edge was there in Tag Edge. I think sometimes I think of them as two separate entities of like Edge and Christian, and then he became this guy. But then you watch back some of those tag matches and you're like, oh no, you had it. You had some of this stuff real early. You were there. It was in there from the beginning. Colonel's
in there. And then you really do see like kind of the evolution of a character, the evolution of a man, honestly. Just throughout that, like especially the middle block, the part two sort of area of Edge, like he was still just kind of like a desperate sort of like wrestler. Like he was very much, the word that I would use to describe Edge in those years as like the character, I don't know what the fuck Adam Copeland was like, is very much like insecure. Like he no matter how many titles he won, no matter what, he always felt insecure about his spot and like how he was perceived and like all this other stuff as a wrestler. And so like to see that, and then we go here and we transition to this third part where he's like confident. And he just, every time he wrestles, he exudes this sort of confidence, like this maturity, this like, I'm a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm one of the best to ever fucking do this.
Like, he knows.
I'm just going to go out here and I'm going to give you the fucking best match you can have, kid. And like, I think that's great. Like, this third part, this most recent run of Edge, just really breathed like a whole new life into my opinion of him, because it's obviously it was skewed for many, many years because I fucking hated the guy.
Many moons
because I hated the man. But you know, it's great, and I'm really happy to see that development in him, and I'm excited and curious to see where his run in AEW goes, because it is just an extremely different promotion that does very different type of stuff and different kinds of wrestling. So, you know, I'm excited to see where that goes. I hope that the match with Christian ends up being good, because those two guys can still very much go. And I hope that they give them the chance and the opportunity to, you know, maybe Revolution or whatever the fuck pay-per-view they want to do it at, go out there and steal the show. Because I think those two old men can absolutely still fucking do that.
Those two old men. You're right. Like, they absolutely can do real good things.
I don't want to see him do those give two him old Brian men. Danielson. I want to see a Brian Danielson match. Put Copeland in there with Okada. Bring Okada back for a special one-off and have him face Adam Copeland. Give me, you know what? They bring him in all the time. Give me Copeland versus Minoru Suzuki. I want to see it. I just want to see it.
Maybe things for a part four. All right. You can go and find all of the matches that we covered this week on Peacock. They're all on Peacock this week because it was all newer stuff. The recommendation, of course, is the Hell in a Cell match. But all the links and all the information about all the matches we covered this week are all on Full Press Wrestling alongside every other match and every other episode we've done. FullPressWrestling.com. Also, lots of good wrestling news there. Lots of good articles. Go check out FullPressWrestling.com. FullPressShop.com for the merch. Cop the merch. Support the boys. We got merch ideas cooking, so there should be some new stuff available sometime in the new year. So it's going to be real exciting, real good. Not just podcast merch, but like just general wrestling merch.
It's in the slow cooker right now.
It's in the slow cooker. It's going to be real exciting for you. Follow us on social media. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. I'm going to freaking write it down in my notes, or I'm going to set a reminder or something. I will have a sign for next week.
You better have a sign for next week. Follow me on Twitter at @7gomes, @itsevangomes. Follow the podcast, most importantly, on Twitter, on Instagram, @crossbodyofwork, and subscribe to us on YouTube @crossbodyofwork as well. Lots of extra bonus content. Earlier this week, we drafted the best Survivor Series matches of all time. It was a very good time. Next week, another edition of Take a Card, Make a Card, our most stressful series of all time. It's a really good time.
It was kind of it wasn't as stressful this time.
This one was a different type of stressful. That's the only spoiler you're going to get.
It was a different kind of stress.
It wasn't the time frame. It was the picking of the matches. So we'll go there. And
it's a tease.
It is a tease. Check that out on Wednesday. Speaking of a tease, let's talk about who we got next week. A very different type of episode next week, because we're going from some long ass matches to Matt Morgan. I had no way to spell it.
Stutter.
So we're going to talk about Matt Morgan. We're talking about how he got pushed to the moon coming in and was part of like Team Lesnar, that one Survivor Series, and then disappeared, came back, had a stutter, left again, and had a really long and fruitful career in TNA. And I have no idea about his TNA run. I know you do because you were a TNA guy.
Barely. I don't know. He came in at a weird time.
Well, it's always a weird time in TNA. All right. So next week, Matt Morgan. Hit subscribe if you're listening on YouTube and watching. If you're, you know, on a podcast platform and you already made it this far, give us the 5 stars. We'd appreciate it so much. Hit subscribe. That way you get all of our episodes every week, every Saturday. We're dropping a new episode. All right. It's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier. Honestly, I was inspired by Edge this week. Just more so like the reflection and like you just see the growth in that character from part two to part three, where there's like a maturity to it. And I started thinking about, like, you know, my life. Like, I'm not the same person that I was 9 years ago, obviously, because 9 years ago I was 17, and that's freaking crazy to think about.
Jesus Christ, 9 years
ago I was 17. And I know you're like, oh, 9 years ago I was like fucking 23, because you're old as shit. But that's still the point. That's not the point.
You took away a year from me, and honestly, I appreciate you.
That's not the point.
I know math isn't your strong suit, but I
appreciate how old you are sometimes, man. Anyways, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, I think that sometimes it's hard to look back and reflect on life and where you were, especially if you've had some really tough times. But I think that it's kind of an important thing to do sometimes, and like reflect and sort of like see where you've grown and how you've grown and where are some areas that you maybe think you want to grow. Because let's face it, 9 years from now, you're not going to be anywhere near the same person that you are now. And if you are, then fuck, what are you, like 50? Like, it's just a crazy thing to think about, you know. And it's just one of those things that I invite everyone listening to and watching to do. Just like, go back. Let's make it 9 years, because the fucking Edge episode. Think about where you were 9 years ago, and think about where you are now, and think about the areas of growth that you've had as a person in those 9 years, and like where you were then, where you are now, and just like really like sort of praise yourself for the areas where you're happy with the growth. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where, like, I think we don't really, like, life just happens so fast and every day just goes so quick. Like, we're already, like, no, it's November 16th as of recording. Like,
yeah,
it's already November 16th. What the fuck?
Another year, yeah.
Like, and time flies so fast, and I think we sort of lose track on those, like, on that growth period that we've had with ourselves. Like, we don't really get to think about that and really like reflect on it. And I just, again, I invite everyone here listening, just reflect on that time period. Just reflect on how you've grown, and really just give yourself a fucking pat on the back. Cause I know all of you have grown in very positive ways, in many different ways. And congrats to you guys.
Keep it up.
Keep fucking growing.
Keep it up. We're keep it growing. Up. And the only way we keep growing is if you share this podcast. No, I won't turn it into a plug. I won't. I can't do it.
I won't do it. Just know that there is evolution. There is growth happening within the ranks here on the podcast. And I couldn't be more freaking excited about it.
Evolution is a mystery. All right. I've officially lost the one brain cell that was present in this giant head. All right. We will be back next week to somehow talk for an hour about Matt Morgan. We will talk to you then.
You never really did.